The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, Jesus. The Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're carrying on with the message, the essence of my message to Christians, part 4. Overview of today's program. This broadcast examines the most important elements of my message as they apply to Christians. It is stressed that we must keep the Ten Commandments and the Great Commandment. It is noted that prayer, worship, and fasting are vital. It is pointed out that there was a global hydraulic and tectonic event about 4,500 years ago. It is noted that all people on earth are descended from the three sons of Noah. It is conceded that Christianity does preserve important truths. We speak about your ministry, and it is stressed that this is not about people. It is stated that Christmas, Easter, etc. are pagan feasts and should be avoided at all costs. It is stressed that good is not the issue. It is pointed out that the church is corrupt and valueless. A prayer is given if this message has touched you at some level. Finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See particularly the top line of the menu for a video about relationship and an article on the miracle of the death of Yeshua. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, the show and podcasts for previous broadcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, one word. The show in the top menu and podcasts in the drop-down. Answers to questions from last week's program. Number one, do you use this program to confess and repent for your past actions? No, I don't. Like rail spikes or bigger, I'm not sure what your rail spikes look like. As I have at these nails, rods of steel, about 3/8 of an inch, 8 millimeters or 10 millimeters in diameter, but quite roughly formed so that they really tore into the flesh. Question number three, if you can get free of sin in such a short time, why would we still be so far from the Almighty? They're two separate things. One is to get free of sin. The other is to build a relationship with the Almighty. And it takes time to build a relationship with the Almighty, to learn about Him, to learn His things, to see things the way He sees things. So you can get free of sin within a matter of a few weeks if you really put your mind to it. It's a state of mind and gaining knowledge. But it takes time to build a relationship with the Almighty, which is been depicted in the previous messages as climbing the mountain. So question number four, does this teaching only apply to Christians? If so, why? This specific teaching has been tailored for Christians and focuses on what Christians particularly need to know. I'll be doing additional teachings in due course for Muslims and for Jews and for unbelievers and for other believers. And in each case, I will adjust the emphasis to deal with the things that I believe are most important for them. The overall message is the same, but each religion has its own truths and its own errors. So, for example, Christianity knows about Yeshua. They believe wrongly that he's the Almighty in the flesh, and therefore the Jews and the Muslims have difficulty believing in Yeshua because they realize that he's not the Almighty in the flesh. And so one has to present the message somewhat differently for each of those groups. Question number five, are you confirming the Almighty and no one and the one known as Jesus are not one and the same? Yes, I'm confirming that Almighty is the Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing, and the man you know as Jesus, Yeshua, was a man, is a man, was never the Almighty. It was the Spirit of the Almighty on Yeshua that gave him the Christ, the anointing. Question number six, how can we get through the confusion so we understand better? It'll take time, spend time reading what's on my website, email me. We can connect on Zoom or Skype, and it'll take time, but you can get through the confusion. Seven, how are we to hear what he says are our sins? Well, as you get closer to him, you will begin to hear him, and if you're attuned to it and if you're looking for it, he'll point out your sins to you. You can pray for him to judge you, which will show up your sins. And equally, the fundamentals of sin, are you breaking one of the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments are pretty straightforward, and we're going to look at those in a minute. And if you're breaking one of those, then you just need to stop doing it. It's not that difficult. 8, how can we get rid of our sins if we're not sure what they are? Well, I guess I just answered that. It's basically breaking one of the Ten Commandments. Question 9, Adam and Eve were not born of a person. That's correct. Adam was formed from the dust of the earth, and Eve was formed from Adam's rib. 10, how many years are there between all these happenings? Well, it depends which happening you're talking about. The flood was about 4,500 years ago. The creation of Adam and Chava was just over 6,000 years ago. Yeshua lived just over 2,000 years ago. And the end of the millennium will be in about 983 years from now. What is so special of this ark you speak of? The Ark of the Covenant was where the commandments were stored, and it was also where the Almighty chose to put his presence in the time of Moses through to the time of Jeremiah. And so it was a very, very sacred, very holy place or artifact. 12, this is very confusing. Yes, I can understand. If you've been brought up with Christian or teaching or Muslim teaching or Jewish teaching, a lot of what I'm saying is confusing. Question 13, why don't Jews believe in Jesus? Well, I touched on that a minute ago. Basically, the Jews understand that Yah, the eternally self-existing, the almighty creator, is one, not a trinity. And so when Christians try and teach, not try, when Christians teach that Jesus is God in the flesh, the Jews don't believe them, and they're absolutely correct. However, if you explain to a Jew that Yeshua was a man, a prophet, with a very specific message, and you explain how what happened in his life and his death brought about a change in the spiritual state, then it becomes relatively easy for Jews to believe in Yeshua as a prophet, one of many prophets. Similar comments apply to the Muslims. 14, just how much power does Satan have over the people of this world? Well, basically, Satan has total power over most of the people in the world because they have bowed the knee to him, they've submitted to him, they've accepted his lies and the lies of his masterminds. So if you're believing wrong things, if you're worshipping Jesus, etc., you're actually a Satan servant. If you don't want to be a servant of Satan, you've got to stop sinning. You've got to get your life right. You've got to get your doctrine right. So the reason the world is such a mess and there's so much war and famine and so on and so forth is because Satan's ruling and he's not doing a very good job of it. Or he's in the pit at the moment. His seven masterminds are ruling, but they're also not doing a very good job of it. They don't know how to. They know hate and murder and human sacrifice and stuff like that. So it's a pretty horrible situation. It's up to you to choose to change it in your life. So to sum up my message for today, this article represents a headline review of most facets of my teachings as they apply first and foremost to Christians. Subsequent articles are planned for Jews, Muslims, etc. It stressed that Jesus was a Jew and his name could therefore not be a Greek name, which is what Jesus is. His name was Yeshua, meaning Yah is salvation, where Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator. A number of common English translation errors in the majority of English Bibles are discussed, and from this it is evidence that there is misunderstanding amongst most Christians of the reality that Yeshua, not Jesus, was a human being and not God in the flesh. It is noted that it is grievous error and sin to worship Jesus or worship Yeshua. We should worship the Creator alone. The history of the Bible is discussed, and it is noted that the Bible is a valuable history book, no more, and that it is not the Word of God, and it is sin to worship it as such. It is noted that the only reason we exist is to be friends of the Creator, and if you're not living life with that objective, you're missing the whole reason for your existence. A wide diversity of other topics are discussed. So moving on, we must keep the Ten Commandments and the Great Commandment. We must keep all ten of the commandments spoken out loud by the Almighty Creator at Mount Sinai. See the commandments page on the main menu on the website. The Great Commandment is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. If you're not doing that, you're seriously off the mark. And if you're an unbeliever, you're not doing that. So that's the first basis of judgment. The Ten Commandments are one. Yah, the eternally self-existing, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones beside him. That includes not worshipping Yeshua. Two, have no idols. That includes not worshipping the Bible as the Word of God and not worshipping the cross, which is actually a stake. So that means crucifixes are out, by the way. Do not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, in vain. That's blasphemy. Includes not calling him God, not calling him the Lord, also not having a yahoo.com email address or website, and so on. There's a lot more about this on the website. Commandment number four, keep the Sabbath. We're commanded to keep the high Sabbaths, being Passover or Pesach, Pentecost or Shavuot, the Day of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, the first and great day, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and the first and great days of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. We're also commanded to keep the Saturday Sabbath from sunrise Saturday to sunrise Sunday. Note that Sunday is a pagan Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. If you curse them, you will die. 6. No murder includes no abortion and no abortive contraceptives. 7. No adultery. Men having sex with women who are not virgins given to themselves, and men with men. 8. No stealing. Includes taking tithes and offerings while preaching and teaching lies. 9. No false witness and no lying. Includes not teaching and preaching lies in church. 10. Not coveting, no lusting. Breaking any of the above leads to judgment either in this life or in the life to come. We are required to live free of all of these sins. Folks, when it comes to living a life without sin, the first thing you need to do is to understand those 11 commandments, the 10 commandments and the Great Commandment, and you need to then pull out all the stops and observe them. If you turn to the section on the website, 7 Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty, you'll find there's a whole procedure there for going through your life, making notes, and progressively cleaning up your life. If you're serious about serving Father, I suggest that you really do that process. In fact, if you're serious, you need to take that whole document. It's about a 70-page ebook. And it's available for download on the website in a PDF format as well as being a web page. And you need to do everything that's on that page. And if you do that over a period of about 2 years, at the end of that, you will be close to Father if you really go for it. Folks, the other thing to remember about the Ten Commandments is that they only apply to believers. The first commandment is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one. If you're not doing that, if you're breaking that commandment, the other 10 commandments are irrelevant. So as an unbeliever, you're not constrained by the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments are irrelevant to you as an unbeliever. So going around, as I've come across one man championing against same-sex marriages, etc., it's a waste of time. The people doing it are not believers. If they are believers, that's between them and Father. Father will sort them out. And if they're not believers, the Bible doesn't apply. The Ten Commandments don't apply. Don't make yourself and Father objectionable to unbelievers by trying to force them to live according to the standards that apply to you as a believer. If you are a believer, you are subject to a harsher judgment and a harsher set of rules that you have to stick to. And they're not that difficult to stick to once you understand them and once you make up your mind to comply with them. But then note that prayer, worship, and fasting are vital. It is vital to pray regularly. In fact, pray in the Spirit without ceasing. Worship regularly and fast regularly. There are pages on the website on prayer, worship, and fasting, and also in the seven components. So the seven components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator. There are seven major elements in drawing close to the Almighty. See the seven components of drawing close page. These are number one, decision. The first thing you have to do in order to draw close to the Almighty is decide that He exists. Secondly, prayer. There's a whole lot of prayers on the prayer pages on the website. Very important. Fasting. You will not draw close to Father without fasting. Cleansing. I touched on that a few minutes ago, including deliverance from demons. There's a whole process in that document. Worship. You need to worship pretty much whenever you can, every spare minute, every day. Listen to worship songs while you're working. Listen to worship songs while you're driving or on the bus or on the train or whatever. And then research to learn what Yah wants you to learn and to do. I can't stress this enough. Drawing close to the Father is not about following James Robertson or any other human being. It's about you drawing close to the Father and asking Him what He wants you to do, making your own choices to draw close to Him. I can't do it for you. You're not me. I'm not you. And then finally, action. Putting what you've learned into action with a view to aiming to become a friend of the Creator. That's your personal ministry. These radio broadcasts and everything that's been broadcast over the last 2 years gives you a huge amount of information to help you draw close to Father. It's up to you to put it into action. Moving on, there was a global hydraulic and tectonic event about 4,500 years ago, also known as the flood. It is so that there was a worldwide hydraulic and tectonic event, also known as the flood, in which the entire planet was submerged in water as a consequence of an ice comet impact. The surface of the Earth was then totally mashed up, and the Earth expanded, draining the water off the continents. See the Proof of Global Flood page on the website. It is important to understand that reports of finds on Earth that are millions or billions of years old are incorrect. The entire surface of the planet was formed about 4,500 years ago by the event referenced above. Further, high levels of radioactivity were emitted during and after this event, with the result that there were major mutations and diversification of plant and animal species and degradation of human beings. Noah was about 18 feet tall, 6 meters, and we are now typically about 2 meters tall, maximum. The miracle of the flood is that Noah prepared for the flood by building a boat and assembling a representative sample of animals and birds and survived the flood despite tumultuous seas. Every living thing on the ark was strapped down, and then the Almighty put them all into suspended animation. And if you don't understand these deeper aspects of the story of the flood, people say that it's not possible, there's not enough water on the planet. Well, the planet was a good deal smaller than it is today, and there's detailed videos on the website that will take you through exactly how it happened, how it's possible, things about the universe and the stars and the comets that circulate in space and so forth. Continuing, all people on earth today are descended from the three sons of Noah, or Noah. All people on earth today, the Shemites are the Jews, the Arabs, the Europeans, the Russians, the Asian Indians, the North American Indians. Christianity, Judaism, and Islam all flow from Shem, at some level serving the Almighty. Japheth, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Koreans, and other Far East Asian peoples, typically idolatry and worship of the emperor and other people. And thirdly, Ham, most of Africa, ancestor or demon worship. It's so important to understand that only those eight people survived the flood, and all of the peoples of the earth come from those three men and their wives. Important to note that creation took place in an evolutionary manner over millions of years. It is also important to note that creation did not take place in seven periods of 24 hours. The word translated day in Genesis in most English Bibles relates to a period of time of indeterminate duration. So creation took place in an evolutionary manner of progressive discovery by the Creator, as he progressively created more and more complex planets, plants, animals, spirit beings, etc., until he finally created humankind just over 6,000 years ago. Folks, if you are basing your arguments on the basis of 7 24-hour periods, you just make belief in Father look stupid. It's not possible. It's absolutely impossible. It's mechanically, technically, physically impossible for the whole universe and everything in it to have come into existence in 27 periods of 24 hours. Just because there's an error in translation in the Bible doesn't mean that you should be sucked in by it. Continuing, Christianity does preserve important truths. As mentioned above, Christianity is corrupt and pagan insofar as it worships a man, Jesus, and idolizes the Bible. The vast majority of people who class themselves as Christian today are classified by Father Yah as believing unbelievers. Tens of millions of them. Some are foolish virgins. At the same time, important truths are preserved in Christianity, particularly the truth or semi-truth about Yeshua, albeit masked by major error. The supernatural charismatic gifts are more widely present in Christianity than other religions for the most part. That said, most of the charismatic Christians today are adulterous wives because of their worship of Jesus and the Bible. See the page, The Demographics of the Kingdom of Yah, in December 2015 on the website. The page is called Demographics of the Kingdom. Folks, it's so important to understand Christianity does have a lot of truth. There's a lot of good in Christianity. But on the other hand, there's a huge amount of error as well and a lot of arrogance. So the point that I'm making is that, yes, keep the good that comes out of Christianity, but discern the evil in Christianity and move on from it. So important. I want to talk about your ministry. There's nothing in Yah's plan for this age that involves people sitting in seats in churches or mosques or synagogues or wherever, being taught for years at a time. The intention is that you believe, that you clean up your life, see the seven components of drawing close, and then go into ministry as either a spokesman or spokeswoman, prophet or prophetess, one who listens to the Almighty and speaks on his behalf, or an evangelist, one who publicizes the matters of the Creator and leads people to belief, or a shepherd, one who cares for the new converts and leads them to a point where they can enter into ministry of their own, or an emissary or apostle, a senior and experienced one of the above. It is vital to understand that you personally, whoever you are, if you're a believer, you're called to ministry. Basically, you should have an occupation that provides the finances for your ministry, and then you have a ministry that you self-finance. It's not Father's intention that you or anyone else should go to church every week, year in and year out, and year in and year out, and abdicate your responsibility to have a relationship with Father and listen to the priest or the pastor or the imam or the rabbi or the whoever. Make a decision, clean up your life, start to hear Father, and start helping him on earth. That's what you're called to do. So important. Stop studying what other people have written and said. Get your own relationship with him. Go out and speak to people. Tell people about him. Don't get into bondage to the pastor or the imam or the rabbi or whoever. It's not Father's will, and it's serious error. Then I want to point out it's not about the people. Many believers get sidetracked about the messed up state of the world and the distress and turmoil of the people. The people who are mostly in this distress are unbelievers, and they're there because of their unbelief. Yah is indifferent to their lot, so praying for them and constituting ministries for them is a waste of time. Focus on getting close to the Almighty yourself, then focus on reaching the believers to help them to get close to the Almighty. Then reach the unbelieving believers, the ones who believed and haven't gone any further. And then finally reach the believing unbelievers and teach them the truth. There is enough there, over 100 million people, without worrying about the outright unbelievers. Then note that each major religion and denomination preserves different truths. I made this point in answering the questions. Each major religion, particularly Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, preserve different truths. Other religions also contain truth. The sum of all truth is at least theoretically available from consideration of what every one of these groupings hold to be truth. Note that all the denominations and major divisions of Christianity each preserve certain distinct truths, while at the same time largely sharing key common errors. Throughout time, there have been pockets of people in each religion and denomination who are moderately close to Father, and they have preserved important truths. One of the things that happens is that believers get obsessed about what they believe is error in other believers, and they get harshly judgmental and tell them that they're worshipping Satan, etc., and they don't see the sin and the error in their own lives. Tragic. Christmas, Easter, etc. are pagan feasts and should be avoided at all costs. Christmas, Easter, etc. are pagan feasts. Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, that's Sukkot, around September, October, and not on the 25th of December. The 25th of December is the birthday of the sun god, and it's an abomination in the sight of Yah. Easter is also not Passover. See Satanic Feasts, True Sabbaths, and Christmas Pagan on the main menu of the website. Then there are very few true believers on earth today. As of the 25th of December 2015, there were only approximately 205,000 human beings in some measure of right standing with the Creator on earth. That number has, if anything, decreased since then. That number includes Christians, Jews, Muslims, yogis, Hindus, etc. There are about another 2.5 million who would make it into the Great Hall in heaven, again across all peoples. Of these, about 500,000 were adulterous wives who were spirit-filled, but who were worshipping Jesus, Muhammad, Moshe, etc., and most of these were Christians. If anything, that number has decreased. Then there were about 20 million who had sometime believed, but had never formed any sort of relationship with the Creator or done anything in His service. These will end up in the outer darkness, outside the Great Hall in heaven, the trash heap of heaven, as Yah calls it, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, their teeth, for eternity. In fact, they would probably be better off if they had not believed. So there's a huge issue here with Christian evangelism that goes out, converts people, and then leaves them to their own devices. A lot of those evangelists are going to face serious judgment when they die. Finally, there were about 100 million believing unbelievers, people who were at some level religious, but who had never admitted the reality of the Creator. See Demographics of the Kingdom for detailed discussion. In considering these statistics, you need to check firstly whether you truly believe that the Almighty Creator exists. Then you need to check whether you have at some level a relationship with Him. If not, you need to clean up urgently. See the page on 7 Components of Drawing Close. Also see the video at the top of the menu, Relationship with the Almighty. Watch that video. Very important. Then consider the reality that many of the people you've considered to be believers are not believers. Consequently, your entire picture of religion on earth today is likely skewed by lack of awareness of the above statistics, such that those who truly have some measure of right relationship are scattered all over the earth across most religious groupings and interspersed with large numbers who are not in right standing. Note that when I say right standing, that's a relative term. They virtually all have some of the errors that are addressed above and on my website, and therefore are not particularly close to the Almighty. And that's what the climbing the mountain is about. It's getting close to the Almighty. And as I've said, there are very few people near the top of the mountain, 20 overcomers, one friend, not a large number of good and faithful servants and wise stewards, 205,000 in total. Folks, it's tragic. Father created this whole world, animals, the planets, the plants, the fruits, the insects, everything. He created to have a place where he could relax and enjoy his friends. And instead he's ended up with a planet with over 100 billion enemies. It's so tragic. And I want to address a really important point which relates to all religions, but it particularly relates to Christians, and that is that good is not the issue. When you consider what I've just said, then the next point is that there are huge numbers of people, good people on earth. There are billions of good people on earth, but the vast majority have no relationship with the Creator and are therefore, by the standards of the Almighty, of no consequence to Him. In fact, He has said that He is indifferent to them. So if your standard of religious acceptance is good, I regret that you need to rethink. Then to compound this, many of those who are at some level of true belief are heavily demonized, and some are participating in wars and all sorts of things that are evil, so they would not be classed as good. They will pay a heavy price for this in hell after they die, but right now things are confused, so do not judge. To put it bluntly, there are billions of good people who are servants of Satan. This is one of the satanic and demonic realm's most effective ploys. I once had dinner with a man that I highly esteemed. And he said to me, you know, James, we got onto religion, and he said to me, James, as I have it, it's all about living a good life. And I didn't have the knowledge that I have now, because I started asking, because I knew that was the wrong answer and I didn't know how to rebut it. Folks, it's not about having a good life. If you serve Father faithfully, you will be good. If you really get close to Him and deal with your sin and your error, etc. Good is a consequence of serving Father. It's not an indication of whether you're serving Father. There are billions of good people on earth who are not serving Father. Then a very difficult one. I don't know how to put this delicately. It's probably going to upset a lot of people. But the fact is, the church is corrupt and valueless. As an extension of the previous point, it's that collective religion, be it the Christian church, the Jewish synagogues, the Muslim mosques, and their associated communities, who are doing all sorts of good works, are irrelevant and valueless from the perspective of the Creator because they do not teach people to have a deep relationship with the Creator, but rather make people dependent on the pastor, the priest, the rabbi, the imam, etc., to have the relationship. And even then, most of these leaders do not have significant relationships with the Creator and are teaching error. In years past, these institutions had value. Today, that's no longer the case. Further, it is important to remember that the collective of people who were effectively the church in Jerusalem at the time of Yahushua was put to death were calling for his death. So it is correct to say that the church put Yeshua to death. In fact, Yah the Creator says that if Yahushua were to come today, the church would again put him to death. Consider the Inquisitions, see the page on Inquisition on the website, and the pogroms for an indication of what Christianity does to those who believe differently to the masses. In most cases, they kill the true believers. I've been kicked out of a number of churches for daring to challenge their wrong beliefs. The brutal truth is that the satanic and demonic realm control the church under the guise of good. One can be as good as one likes, as long as one is not a strong believer in the Creator, and you're then entirely irrelevant. These comments apply to all religious groupings. To take this a step further, try introducing the above truths to the average gentle, loving Christian pastor, and see them change into a raging, irrational, demonized tyrant if they're unable to convince you that you're mistaken and should trust their teaching. The harsh reality is that if you take this message seriously and apply it fully, you will find that you are not welcome in any form of organized religion, except if you band together with a few other like-minded believers. But right now, they are few and far between. I once visited a congregation near where I lived in South Africa, a lovely, gentle, spirit-filled Christian pastor. And then I started to share some of the things that Father was teaching me. This is a couple of years after I started really serving Father. And I believe that everyone was looking for all truth. And then something happened and he just turned against me and denounced me and phoned up people about me and made my life miserable. A few years later, he was dead. So much error in the church. And it looks so it's good and it looks after people. And it had its place, but now Satan's in the pit. It's a different dispensation. So that brings me to the end of this teaching on the essence of my message for Christians. And if this message has touched you in any way, I want to pray a prayer, and I'd ask you either to pray along with me or get the download. The recording will be on the relationshipwithcreatorradio.com website by this time tomorrow. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yahushua. I confess that I've worshipped Jesus or Yahushua. I recognize this as sin and I repent and I ask you to forgive me and help me to start on a new path serving you alone. I confess that I've worshipped the Bible. I now recognize this as sin and I repent and I ask you to forgive me and help me to start on a new path serving you alone. I confess that I've used wrong names for you, Yeshua, and others. I now recognize this as sin, and I repent, and I ask you to forgive me and help me to start on a new path using the correct names and words. I choose to forsake the pagan religion of Christianity and turn to worshipping and serving Yah, the eternally self-existing alone. I thank you for what I've learned through Christianity that has brought me thus far and brought my relationship with you thus far, but I now choose to serve you only. Please help me to do this in whatever way possible. Help me to pray appropriately and to act appropriately. Thank you for forgiving me and setting me free. Amen. folks. That's the biggest decision you can take if you haven't already taken it. Choose to serve Father only. Come out of the church and build a relationship with Him directly. I want to challenge you and ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator right now? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, there's a large amount of challenging information that I've shared with you in these four broadcasts on the essence of the message to Christians. I urge you to get the recordings and really take it to heart. Seek a relationship with Him. He wants to have a relationship with you. Go to the website, get the seven components of drawing close document, apply it. Within a couple of years, you will be really close to Him if you really go for it conscientiously. So important. There's nothing more important in life than having a deep personal relationship with your Creator. That's what you're here for. Everything else is fluff and stuff. Wrapping up, some key documents and a video on the main menu web pages. There's a video at the top of the menu, Why Seek Relationship, Most Important. This is the most important message I've ever created. Then major web pages, Miracle of Yeshua's Death. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, all one word, .org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then the drop-down menu podcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page, and they're physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Folks, I really want to extend that invitation to you. There are a few people who email me regularly. Most don't. I'm here for you. I want to help you. It blesses me if you write to me and ask me questions. So please do it. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is full Google functionality on the website, so you can find pretty much anything you're looking for on the website if it's there. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage and I will answer them in the next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. Folks, that's so, so important. If you, at some level, have listened to what I have to say and say we need to stop the satanic and demonic realm. Well, the way to do that is for you to choose to become a friend, for you to choose to take this route that I'm talking about. And folks, it doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter your race, your color, your wealth or lack of it, your education or lack of it. Father will meet you where you are. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to be his friend. There's so much material on the website to help you get there. It took me about a decade to get to a point where he called me friend, or certainly 8 years. You can do it in a lot less because I've gone ahead as a pathfinder, and I want you to get beyond where I am. I want you to get even closer to him than I am, and it's totally possible. It's totally doable. So please go for it. Good night. Father, I